Well, as Jonathan beautifully expressed to us, we are about to help our Jewish friends celebrate their Rosh Hashanah. And my quote today came from actually from a Hanukkah greeting card. Another holiday, same people. It is, when you look, actually it must have been a Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, when you look into your heart, as the new year starts, may you discover a new belief in the gifts you have to share, a connection to the people around you. And I love that we sang about dwelling together in peace and harmony and love with our brothers and sisters. So our Jewish friends are indeed preparing for the Rosh Hashanah holiday. I've sent my cards. Have you sent yours? I love to do that. And it really teaches us some important lessons, much like I was sharing with the children in the Wee Wisdom Time this morning. You see, it is always possible to clear the past. Always. We sometimes don't realize that. It is always possible to clear the past and to make way for an inspired future for ourselves individually, for our friends and our relatives and our workplaces and our neighborhoods, for our spiritual community, for the world itself. We have more power to affect these changes than we realize. Why? Because there is one life. It is God's life. It is everywhere present. It is whole, complete, and perfect. It is all energy. The scientists are proving now that even the spaces in between the things that we see, it's powerful. This is the place of new beginnings. And our thoughts are powerful. Our feelings make a difference. We are forever impacting this great creative law of the universe that Jesus taught us about so beautifully. Jesus was Jewish, by the way. Did you know that? As you sow, so shall you reap. And we have learned that as we think in our hearts, so are we. Why is this? Because there is a great law, the law of sowing and reaping. And it is our nominon, or the name of the thing, or the idea behind what we bring about, that has the power to bring it about along with the intelligent, powerful activity of the law itself. We plant the seed. The soil grows that into a flower or a plant or a tree. We all have our own part. As my beloved friend, Dr. Arlene Bump says, I plant the seed, God grows the tree. God has the hard part, not hard to God. But we do our part. So our thoughts and our feelings are empowering. Now it works both ways. You see, not only is there this great subconscious mind of humanity, that we can be affected by if we let too many of those nonsensical ideas in. They're limiting, they're biased, they're not the truth, but they're hanging out in the human race subjective mind. We call it the race, the human race conscious mind. And we can be impacted by that only if we let ourselves be. Only if we watch too much news. And because we start to get upset, we begin to get depressed, we begin to get sad, we begin to get scared and all those things. Doesn't help. How are you going to empower yourself, your loved ones, and the world when you let these things, what we call the nincompoopery, come in and get us all going? We have the power to make a difference in our lives. We have the power to make a difference in this world. It's all energy. But we have to do, we get to do, we have the joy of doing our work. When I do my work, I know I'm clearing the way for myself to become a greater instrument through which spirit can celebrate life. Once had a minister say to me, I'm just here to give God a good time. I rather like that. You know, we don't do sackcloth and ashes, and we don't drag ourselves across broken glass up hills and down. I don't think I've ever met anybody who did. Did you? Oh, you used to do that. No, I'm only kidding. Nobody said that. We're here about letting life celebrate itself by means of us. And that does mean that we get to realize that there is a power greater than we are, and it's right where we are, and we can use it for good. That there's a power for good where we are, right where we are, and it can use us for good. So it's a matter of aligning ourselves with this truth. So we realize it is always possible to clear up the past through recognition of what needs to be healed within us and taking responsibility, just like the little story I told the children this morning. Each Tom and Judy took some responsibility and decided they wanted to clear that up so that they could have a happier present and future. As we take a look at these things, then we become courageous enough to release the erroneous thinking, beliefs, the resentments, the regrets, the things that we tend to carry around with us. There's, you know, I know you're just some of the most brilliant, beautiful, magnificent people I've ever met, and yet there's not one person sitting here who isn't carrying some stuff around. And there's not one person up here who isn't either. But we're doing our work, we're clearing it up. One or two memories at a time, perhaps. And as we do this, we're doing our understanding, our forgiveness, our clearing up, and we're making way. We have to bring a willingness to bring forgiveness. Have you noticed sometimes when you're doing your forgiveness work that sometimes there's one person who's the most difficult to forgive? Who is that? Me, myself, and I. Because once I stop blaming someone else for an event, then I need to take some responsibility for how I put myself in that position to begin with, or what I may have said or done or not said or not done that contributed to the misunderstanding. I want to take responsibility for that. That's where my power is. There's no power in pointing fingers at someone else. This poem by Rumi, basically says what we usually hear from the elders, that the doors of divine forgiveness remain open, so we shouldn't give up hope that we won't be forgiven. Come. Come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, it doesn't matter. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, even if you have broken your vow 1,000 times, come yet again, come, come. We want to come to the healing place. We want to come to that place where I forgive and I'm willing to be forgiven. You know, we may disappoint other people. We don't mean to most of the time. And one of the problems we have in being human is that, well, we have a couple of them anyway, but one of them is that we set expectations of other people. And I learned many years ago, and I'm still learning it, but I know it. I just get to remember it. That we're creating a challenge for ourselves, and probably not the most pleasant situation, when we set a specific expectation that someone is supposed to behave in a certain way. It doesn't make for a happy relationship. But we set a healthy expectancy of life bringing good to us every day. That's a wonderful thing to do. We can absolutely count on the infinite to bring the best and the highest and the most beautiful into our lives as we become open instruments for that to take place. But not to set an expectation like, well, you know, I know that since I did that nice thing for my friend, that my friend is going to do something nice for me. your friend did something nice for you just by giving you the opportunity to give from your heart. That feels good. Stop there. No expectations. Well, you know, I have some grandchildren who send thank you notes, and I have some that don't. And I love them the same, and I don't decrease the amount of the check on their birthdays or celebrations, regardless. I love giving to them. And sometimes they get around to, oh, hi, Nana, thanks, I really appreciated that, and this is what I did with it. Cool. No strings attached. That way, we're not setting ourselves up for having something else yet to forgive. You know, we can be proactive with this. Let's not set things up so that there is something that we feel resentment about. There's no need for that. So we might break promises. We might disappoint someone sometimes. We probably didn't mean to. It's just part of the human condition. We may as well get used to it because we're going to be in this human form for quite a while. But when we break a promise or something, we ourselves are not broken. We are never broken. What's wonderful for us to remember is that God sees us in wholeness. No other way. Isn't that wonderful? We're the ones who see each other and ourselves and judge ourselves as something missing, something wrong, something lacking. It is not true. When we return to our source and allow ourselves to be loved in the way that we were loved when we were brought into being, God, remember, says, I created that and it's good. Never, ever changing the divine mind. It's good. We come in this way onto planet Earth, don't we? Whole, complete, and perfect, beautiful, innocent. I remember holding my first grandchild in my arms the minute she was born. I was so grateful my daughter-in-law let me be there with her. And I looked in this child's eyes. She's 29 now. And I still look in her eyes whenever I can. She's in California. And I see that same beautiful soul that I saw with the peace in her eyes at that time. And she has more enthusiasm for life than almost anyone I've ever met. She comes into a room and it's like this. Many of you have met Stephanie. And she's real pretty too. Whole and complete and perfect. In one of our classes, Cheryl, Dr. Cheryl, had a project. We all always have great, loving, terrific, fun projects. And Dr. Cheryl had a project that she presented, and it was about God goggles. God goggles. And the kids have learned this too now, huh? It's like looking through the divine vision, which is never about division. It is always about wholeness. It is always about unity. It is always about the perfect you and the perfect people in your life. They may not always be behaving that way, but it's still the truth. And when we look at our loved ones, when we look at our work, when we look at our activities, when we look at ourselves in the mirror wearing God goggles, what do we see? We see who we really are. We see that perfection. We're able then to release the silliness of the past. It was not a big deal. We make it a big deal. Yeah, but he said, but she did. How is that helping our spiritual progress, really, folks? What helps our spiritual progress is to return often to that place of wholeness, of knowing that we are created in the image and likeness of God. Now, that's not a person. That's not a big giant person in the sky. The image and likeness of God means that we're imbued with those same wonderful qualities of life and light and love, peace, power, beauty, and joy. So it's not looking like some mythical being. It's acting like the divine being that we were created to be. So never mind those old pictures we used to have. Fortunately, I grew up in this wonderful teaching, so I never had a sky god. I learned that more when I was studying Greek. A lot of sky gods, but simply aspects of human, you know, because we have always, throughout the centuries, created God in our image and likeness. So we get to turn things around. But remember little Johnny who was drawing picture in Sunday school, and the teacher asked him, "Well, what are you drawing, Johnny?" "I'm drawing a picture of God." She says, "Well, no one has ever seen God. Nobody knows what God looks like." He said, "They will when I get through." We know what God feels like. God feels like expansion, not limitation. Fullness, not lack. Love and wholeness, never loneliness. And people can feel alone in a crowd when they're not connected with Source consciously. Because the truth is, we're always connected with Source. But how are we going to create a wonderful, inspired future, new opportunities? They're going to begin with me. And you can join in. They're going to begin with each of us, because your and my past mistakes do not, please hear this, I'm finally getting to something you need to hear. Your past mistakes are meant to guide you, not define you. Too often we get into wishing it were otherwise, rearing, regretting, etc., and then begin to feel shame. Shame is a terrible thing, and I want you, if you brought any in with you today from leftover years, please leave it under your chairs, these beautiful comfy chairs. Leave it under your chairs, because we have a cosmic vacuum when you leave. You know, guilt is not so bad. I can feel a little bit guilty if I did something I wish I hadn't done or said something I wish I hadn't said, and I can make amends and I can get over it. Shame sticks to you, you know? So let's just release it. It has no part in us. Our past mistakes are to guide us, not to define us. That's how we get to a point where we begin to co-create these beautiful new opportunities. What wonderful lessons we're getting from our Jewish friends. And the music's good too. So let's do that important inner work. I do it. I love doing it. And it's not drudgery. It's joy. It takes some courage. Core of the heart, right? Our courage is within our hearts. Courage. I think of the Wizard of Oz and the lion looking for courage. Had it all the time. Had it all the time. And proved it by going along that journey. No. Taking a step while you're shaking is a very courageous and wise thing to do. So taking a look inside, it's like, what? I love that. That's each and every one of us. Taking a look inside and asking gently, what is it that still may be hanging on in my subconscious mind that I haven't yet healed? And you can do the work on your own, or you can do it with a practitioner, or a minister, or your therapist. Your sponsor, but do the work. Like, let me listen, let me know. I have the courage to find out what it is that needs to be cleared up in here. And what and who do I need to forgive? And I'm always going to come up in there somewhere. I'm not saying you always need to forgive me, but if you do, please do. But I myself, I notice that time and time again, I get to see that as I take an honest, courageous look at what I may be harboring and take some responsibility for my part in it, that it's often I who needs the forgiveness. So I need to be willing to reframe that memory so that it becomes a memory without emotion attached to it. Doesn't that sound nice? To be free of the negative emotions attached to the memories of what took place in the past. So that it's not a perpetual painful reminder. It's just like, oh yeah, I remember that. And if it's a person that you're still needing to forgive, remember, we love giving that person harmless passage through our mind. Isn't that nice? Someone occur to you, and instead of going, oh, you go, ah, oh, I love a parade. Harmless passage, so often it's a whole parade, right? Harmless passage through my mind, bless you, bless you, bless you on your journey. Yeah. So let's let this divine energy of the universe, which we have within us, all around us, supporting us, bringing newness into our lives, let's let it work us. Let's replace resentment and regret. We all have a little of it. Don't tell me you don't. Tell me next week it's gone. That's fine. I'll believe you. But not today. Not yet. Let's let that divine energy work us, and let's let it replace the resentment, the regret, with compassion and with appreciation. Look to see how all of the events in our past, all the behaviors, all the words, all the deeds, all the feelings have contributed to who we are and where we are right now, so that we're on this springboard into our new year, into an inspired future. A Sufi man was asked what forgiveness was. He said, it is the fragrance that flowers give when they are crushed. The fragrance of forgiveness. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. Remember, Jesus was asked, do I need to forgive my brother? Yeah. Do I need to forgive him 7 times? What did he say? Oh, no. 7 times 70. Usually it takes a few iterations of this process to find we really have let go. We really, honestly have come to that point where it's such a relief. I want to dwell in love and harmony with my brothers and sisters. That includes ex-husbands and wives, the whole thing. In your mind, in your heart. Because we truly, truly know that these new opportunities we're creating. The heart of God sees only goodness. Let's keep our God goggles on, right? It requires honest, courageous acknowledgement of our shortcomings, of our erroneous beliefs, inappropriate behaviors, activities, and so forth. I'm ready to experience the sweetness of a new year. How about you? It's possible to make a difference in our lives. We can and we must bring this consciousness into the world. It's our joyous responsibility. God is pure energy, always ready and willing to change form. So let's clear the way for our inspired future, whether it's personal or this group itself, our families, our neighborhoods, our beloved spiritual community. Say with me, I clear away all past erroneous thoughts, beliefs, and actions. I clear away all erroneous past thoughts, beliefs, and actions. I have the words and I'm still getting it wrong. Ta-da! I am free to embrace my great gifts. I am free to embrace my great gifts. I'm ready to bring the sweet possibility of newness into my life. The sweet possibilities of newness into my life. Now say with me, La Shana Tova. La Shana Tova. What did I just say? Happy New Year. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.